Good evening, friends. We welcome you to the Q4 FY22 earnings call of Neuland Laboratories Limited. To take us through the results and to answer your questions, we have with us the top management from Neuland, represented by Mr. Sucheth Davuluri, Vice Chairman and CEO, Mr. Saharsh Davuluri, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Deepak Gupta, CFO, and Mr. Sajeev Emmanuel Medikonda, Head Corporate Planning and Strategy. We will start the call with a brief overview of the financials by Deepak, and then Saharsh will give a broad highlights of the business trends and what he is observing in the market, and then we'll open the floor to Q&A. With that said, the standard safe harbor clause applies as we start the call. With that said, I'm handing it over to Mr. Deepak Gupta. Over to you, Deepak. Deepak, you are on mute.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kavi, and good evening, friends, and a very warm welcome to all of you for our Q4 FY22 earnings call. I think you must have seen the presentation which Kavi was just mentioning, and it was put on our website short while from now. It is uploaded both on BSE as well as on NSE servers. As always, any comments on the contents of this presentation which we have sent will be highly appreciated, and we'll do our best to give our additional data points which will be required for you to analyze it better. I will briefly update on the financials. The total income for this quarter is at 256.5 crore as against 259.3 crores in Q4 of FY21. I would like to state that we had lower offtake at our customers' end for some of our GDS products in the business. Our EBITDA for this quarter was 39.3 crores with EBITDA margins of 15.3 percentage points, which was almost flat as compared to the previous year, which was at 15.4%. And it's an increase of 100 basis points on a sequential basis. I would also like to give you some context on the flat EBITDA margins on a yearly basis. We continue to experience elevated costs across the value chain, for example, logistics, power and fuel, consumables, and also we are witnessing some supply chain delays, disruptions on the raw material volatility front also. As stated in our earlier calls, some of our key raw materials hedging contracts which we have taken in H1 have expired by end of September, and for the second half of the year, we had some challenges in terms of the raw material prices, which is leading to some volatility in the margins front. We continue to maintain high inventory to avoid the future possible disruptions due to the disruptions happening globally. Profits after tax was at 21.8 crore as compared to 17.2 crore last year. This is mainly due to reversal of higher deferred tax provision, which we have taken earlier. This quarter, EPS is rupees 17. If we talk about on a full year basis, our total income stands at 953.2 crores, which is constant compared to the last year. This was due to certain GDS products, which we saw low offtake as for the reasons stated earlier. With regard to EBITDA, it is at 144.3 crore as against 162.5 crores in FY21. The EBITDA margins is at 15.1% as compared to 17.1% that we had last year for the reasons that we stated above. I would also like to state that high manpower costs and other expenses, which is arising mainly from Unit 3 commercialization, has also contributed to the said margin declines. In terms of cash and cash equivalent, as on the date of the balance sheet, which is March 31st end, it is at 19 crores. We continue to make investment in the future, and also for the capex, we spent around 95 crores in the last financial year. And if we talk about our capex plans, it is on track, and with greater commercialization of products which is happening, and on the future commercial prospects, We expect that CMS segment will perform well, and it will also help us to improve our future realizations as well. I would like to mention that even though we have substantial CapEx till date, our net gearing ratio continues to be low. So as of now, as it stands, it is at 0.3. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Saharsh for his remarks, and thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Deepak. Good evening, everyone. Would just like to add a few comments on top of what Deepak has already said. Maybe then we can open it up for Q&A. In terms of the prime business, we did have a very muted year. We've done well in products like mirtazapine, labetalol, and levofloxacin. But product like levetiracetam, which has been doing well for us historically, that's where we've actually had challenges this year. We believe that this is because of low customer offtake, perhaps because of high inventories, and we expect that the volumes should recover in the coming quarters. On the specialty side, we've done well. Products like dorzolamide, entacapone, salmeterol, and ezetimibe have done really well for us, and that's something that we're excited about. With regards to the CMS, I think for the year, we've clocked close to about 300 crores, which is the highest we've done in CMS. This growth actually happened despite a significant drop in sales of one of our oldest commercial products. So you would see in the analytics that we've provided that commercial revenue in CMS has dropped. But despite that, the CMS business has done well, and that's because of the increase in development revenues. What I'd also like to mention here is that one molecule has moved from development into commercialization stage, which is a very important milestone for Newland. Also, with regards to the business, what we've noted before, we work a lot with biotech companies, and it's our ability to deliver complex late-stage projects which is really going to differentiate us and make us as a very well-recognized CMO. And therefore, we've been working a lot on improving our project delivery timelines. We've been also trying to create a very collaborative project management interface so that we are able to work with these biotech companies. And although we've been making steady progress over the past several months, we do continue to face delays in execution for various reasons. And our customers do understand the complexity of these projects, and they continue to remain very supportive of us during this journey of commercializing a new chemical entity. And needless to say, these delays have had impact on the performance for this quarter. With regards to Unit 3, I'd like to state that it's scaling up well. We are seeing some of our key late-stage CMS projects also being scaled up over here. The utilization of Unit 3 continues to steadily increase as we keep scaling up these products. Consequently, Unit 3 has also contributed to higher operating expenses, as Deepak has noted. Other updates, would like to say that, you know, we've filed two DMFs this quarter. So I think for a year itself, we are pleased that we have five DMFs, three in the previous quarter and two now. One is for elagolix sodium, and the other one is for linezolid. These are products which we are excited about and could have an important role to play in the future. We also continue to see good traction with both CMS and GDS customers that could help us drive growth in the medium to long term. The potential for CMS projects, especially in phase three for both development and commercial, which have been evident in the revenues this quarter, as well as for specialty GDS business and for strategic prime products, gives us confidence that long-term business remains intact. These are some of the comments that I wanted to share. Maybe we can open it up to Q&A, Divakar, and then we'll be happy to answer more questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Saharsh. We will now start the Q&A. Before we start, I would request participants to please mention your name as well as the institution in case you are from any institution. Please mention your institution so that will help us in the transcript. Thank you. We now take the first question. The first question is from the line of Mr. Ankush Mahajan. Mr. Ankush, please go ahead. Yes.
So Ravi, is Ankush going to ask a question?
One second.
I think they're figuring out the...
There's a small technical issue. One second.
Maybe Ravi, what we can do is while you're figuring it out, we can request the participants to post the questions in the chat box and we can start answering them while we figure it out, not keeping people waiting.
Okay. So the first question is from Ankush Mahajan, wherein Mr. Ankush says that, you know, the CMS business has grown by 5% for a full year on a YY basis. Reasons for this low growth as demand seems to be very high.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Ankush. One of the reasons why the growth is only 5% is because we've also had an offset due to the degrowth of one of our largest CMS molecules this year. And that's something that we had mentioned previously as well. So I think, I don't recall if we've quantified it, but about 50-60 crores of revenue, which we were steadily recognizing in the previous years, we've not recognized this year. And this growth happened despite that number. So yes, the growth overall is low, but it has been also offset by older molecule that has not really contributed this year. The growth would perhaps also be higher if we were able to deliver a couple more projects which did get delayed in this quarter and are now consequently going to get delivered in FY23. So I think it's a combination of these two factors which have actually dampened the growth of the CMS business.
Thank you. The next question that we have is from Keshav Kumar. Mr. Keshav Kumar is asking, you know, to make our development efficiency more robust for the CMS vertical, are we looking for any translational science technologies, say something like a digital twin for the development processes or some part of the process that might help us to reduce the likelihood of running into such situations?
So I think that like translational science technologies, these would apply to early stage drug discovery programs where you're trying to do, lot of interactions with different biological organisms and things like that. So it's not really something that we could use. We do use modern technologies for our areas of work, but not any of the items mentioned by Keshav.
Just to add to what Harsh said, Keshav, is that what we are doing to keep getting better at these issues is strengthening our process engineering and the depth of the science and technology that we're using within Newland. Even when we're going to our scale-up studies, we're using much more sophisticated technology, trying to incorporate algorithms that can actually predict what are the issues that could come during scale-up and what kind of experimentation we need to do before we go for scale-up and make our technology even more robust. So I think in the spirit of your questions, we are definitely investing a lot in technology as well as predictive analytics. But as Harsh clarified, this specific technology that you're talking about is more applicable for very early stage research than in the context of Newland.
Thank you. The next question is from Jatin Kumar. Mr. Jatin Kumar is saying whether you have any revenue and margin guidance for FY23.
Yeah, I think in in terms of guidance, we cannot provide any guidance. We don't usually provide any guidance. But I think what we do believe is that the general outlook for FY23 from a business perspective is looking very healthy. We expect to have growth in terms of both CMS as well as GDS. While we don't give guidance, we are also mindful, especially in the current environment, that input costs and other factors could have a bearing on how we perform financially. So I think it's all the more reason why we would caution from giving any guidance. But I think in terms of the business outlook, as we had indicated earlier, we are reasonably optimistic.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Keshav Kumar.
He's selected.
Yeah, Mr. Keshav Kumar is asking, can you help understand that for the likes of Fine Renown and Voxelator, which have recently got approvals, how do we assess the opportunity cost? As in, we have filed for the process patents, but would we be able to capitalize it in the next seven to eight years? Is it the rationale that we see the odds in the favor of the drugs to do well, and we might find opportunity as an alternate suppliers of the small molecules?
So Keshav, I think both these products, Fenerarum as well as Voxelator, are part of our GDS portfolio. So we have looked at these two products from the perspective of adding them for customers who are looking at the GDS portfolio. These are products which initially, we hope to get revenues from developers who are looking for first to file opportunities, whereas the actual revenue that we'll get will only be in the 2030s in the next decade. But overall, we are looking at these molecules more from the GDS specialty perspective.
Thank you.
Ravi, there are also a couple of questions earlier in terms of the CMS business outlook for FY23. Would you like to catch those questions as well?
Yes. Mr. Ankush Mahajan and Mr. Abhishek Jain are asking for guidance or outlook on CMS business for FY23.
No, I think with regards to guidance, I think we've already answered that question. I think specifically from a CMS business, as I did mention, for us, getting molecules into commercialization is a very important milestone. In Q4, we had one molecule transitioning to commercial. We expect that maybe another one or two molecules will also get into commercial in FY23. What that could translate in terms of revenues, etc., I think that remains to be seen, because it depends on how the drug picks up and what decisions the customers make. But I think as a CMO, our strategy is to really execute on these projects well and quickly translate them into commercial molecules so that we are able to see recurring business from them. So I think FY23 in that regards will be important. We do expect to see the business grow, but you know, we're not really able to give any guidance.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Prashant K. Mr. Prashant is asking whether the ongoing supply chain issues are going to affect Neuland in FY23 also.
Yeah, for sure, Prashant. I mean, good question. Something that we are also continuing to grapple with. There's a lot of uncertainty coming out of this whole Russia-Ukraine conflict, as well as what's happening in China. So we've seen disruption in supply. What we did early on in the year is, in anticipation, we did stockpile a little bit in some of our key raw materials. Deepak also alluded to that in his comments, and that's why our inventory value has gone up. It was done as a precaution and as an insurance to protect the business in FY23. Notwithstanding that, we have seen a steep increase in prices of certain raw materials, which is impacting our margins. We are working through those challenges in terms of negotiating long-term contracts, improving our cost position, negotiating better terms with our customers. So we are attacking it on all fronts, but there's definitely a challenge caused by the supply chain issues for FY23.
Thank you. Next question is from Mr. Rikin Shah. Mr. Rikinsha is asking, at what point do we expect the lumpiness in Newland to reduce? As of this moment, there are large variances in the quarterly performance.
I think the lumpiness is largely attributable to the CMS business, and within CMS business, the development projects. The development projects, as especially since they are late stage, whenever we execute a development project, we are seeing significant revenues come from that project. Could be 10 crores, could be 30 crores as well. And when we have two of those projects, then you see a big lump. And then in a quarter, if you don't have those projects, then you see kind of, you know, a reduction. I think for us, the way this lumpiness would reduce, it may never go away, is when more of these molecules which are in development stage become commercial molecules. And obviously, when they become commercial molecules, they will start contributing steady recurring revenues. And that will help increase the base of the CMS business. And these development projects, as they keep happening, they will contribute to sporadic revenues. But because the base of the business is going to increase as more molecules get commercialized, the impact of the lumpiness will become less. So I think as a API company, even for the GDS business, we will experience lumpiness whenever we have specialty products like paliperidone or salmeterol, some of these low volume, high value products shipping out. They will contribute to, you know, higher margins and higher profitability. So I think it is going to be there, but I think as we become a larger company, we will see a reduction. You want to add something?
No, I think I would just second what Harsh just said. We don't see the lumpiness going away completely, especially from quarter to quarter. Notwithstanding that, you know, from a year to year, our goal is margin expansion and a consistent performance over a long period of time. I think purely viewing the organization from your point of view, we completely understand this question. But I think we are at a point where we are operationalizing Unit 3. There's a lot of capex going into Unit 3. We're improving our efficiencies and output so that the overall requirement to deliver sales is less dependent on a proportional increase in capex expenditure because of the increase in occupancy and efficiencies. From that, we will definitely see a margin improvement because of the overall improvement in product mix, more efficiencies coming from our operations, and Unit 3 getting fully operationalized as well. So I think that's the general direction that the business is going in terms of performance in the medium to long term. But, you know, I completely echo what Harsh said, that we may not see the quarter to quarter lumpiness completely going away.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Jayesha, an individual investor. Mr. Jayesha is asking, do we have price pass-through mechanisms in the contracts for the CMS business? Also, considering the new base of price as of Q4 FY22, will we be able to get back on track by Q3 FY23 in terms of margins and EBITDA uptick?
I think every CMS molecule has a different contract. It has, you know, different clauses. But I think typically what we have seen is when it comes to raw material costs, this is something that an API maker is expected to manage either through various strategies. And therefore, we could be exposed to extreme situations of raw material hikes, etc. I think obviously in a CMS business, there is also a certain level of collaboration which we have with our customers, and therefore we try to work together if there are any extremities in terms of raw material hikes, etc. But strictly speaking, most typical contracts expect us to manage raw material price variations. And that could also be sometimes beneficial to us, because when raw material prices fall, which sometimes do happen in business cycles, as an API maker, we can tend to benefit from that as well.
Thank you. Mr. Jayesha has a couple of more questions. One is, do we expect to renew contracts in a manner that we pass on the higher raw material cost in such a way that we achieve the EBITDA margin around the range that we did in FY22? That's the first question. The second question is, Newland had guided on 6 molecules going from commercial to development stage. and one is already, sorry, from development to commercial stage, one is already done. Do you think the balance five will be achieved in FY23?
So I think with regards to the first question, I've already answered that. And I think with regards to the second question, yes, we did indicate, I would not say we have guided, but we did indicate that we expect five or six molecules to go from development into commercial. So far, two have already made that jump. We expect four more to happen, but we would not be able to say that they will happen in FY23. In fact, I do not believe that they will happen, all of them will happen in FY23. As I mentioned earlier, we expect maybe two to happen in FY23 and then perhaps in the year to come after that. But as they happen, we will definitely keep you informed. But it is also very difficult for us to predict when they will happen because these involve FDA approvals, etc.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Ankush Mahajan. Mr. Ankush is asking, when could we get the lost business of the 50 to 60 crore in the CMS business back?
I think, Ankush, it's we don't know for sure because I think there are certain circumstances that have led to that business not coming for us. We do have the capacities and we are prepared for delivering on that product. But we also have alternate plans to utilize that capacity should that product not come back. But at this point, it's not very clear. And I think whatever plans we have made right now, we are not really hinging those plans on that product coming back either. But we will expect or we will attempt to try to recover that business if it's possible. But at this point, we don't know much.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Keshav Kumar. Mr. Keshav is asking, what was the reason to stop pursuing octreotide?
I think one of the main reasons was the lack of commercial interest. And I think what we typically do when it comes to some of these GDS molecules is that we reach a stage of lab development or even a stage of filing a DMF with a small quantity. But then perhaps once we are able to gauge the market situation, we make a decision whether we want to pursue it or not. I think other than that, Sajeev, anything specific you want to add on octreotide with regards to the market dynamics? Or?
No, sir. As you had mentioned, I think ultimately for the peptides, we are at a stage where we don't simply file the DMF once we have done the development in the lab, but we are looking to work closely with collaborators, the formulation collaborators, and at this point of time, we haven't really seen that interest, as a result of which we have not, taken further steps with octreotide. But where we are with octreotide is we have a fully developed process in the lab. And in case there's any further interest, we could always take it up.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Prashant K., an individual investor. Mr. Prashant is asking whether any patents are going to expire this year. And any comments on R&D spend going forward? And where do we see Newland 5 years from now on?
So I assume that Prashant is asking about if any CMS molecules patents expire this year. We don't expect any patents to expire this year. I think for the rest of our commercial pipeline, I think when we last examined, the patents are at least 5-6 years away. So we don't expect any patent expiries.
Yeah. In case, Prashant, this is with regard to generic patent expiry, we do have molecules such as apixaban, paliperidone, and to some extent salmeterol, where some specific patents are expiring and in the process of launching those products commercially. So hopefully between those two responses, we've covered the answer to your question, whether it's a CMS or GDSI.
Yeah, so the patent expiry benefits the GDS, whereas it hurts the CMS business.
That's correct.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Keshav Kumar. Mr. Keshav is asking, have we ever lost a CMS molecule due to not being able to deliver as per the schedule?
Not in the last 3 years, at least, Keshav.
Yeah. Before that, we had one intermediate project, Keshav, where it was a fragment of an overall API molecule. We did lose that project, not because we failed to deliver as much as per schedule, but you know, it was a challenge technically, and I think we took too much time to overcome that. But that's the only thing that comes to my mind. As Harsh said, we haven't anything in the last 3 years.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Rahul Bhardwaj. Mr. Rahul is asking, can you share more about the molecule that got commercialized recently and how it will impact the sales in FY23? And also, if you can, please share the progress on the peptide product line segment and by when can peptide start contributing meaningfully to the company's revenue?
Unfortunately, we cannot share much about this molecule which got commercialized recently. We do expect that it will do well and contribute well for the CMS business, but it also really depends on how it will do. I think over the next 1 or 2 years, we should be able to ascertain how well this drug does. But at this point, we cannot really comment on the molecule specifically. And our strategy also is to create a diverse portfolio of commercial molecules so that collectively as a group the business does well, even if it includes a molecule that may not necessarily do well. So that is also one of the reasons why we do not wish to attribute specific comments on any of the CMS molecules.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Sureshnath Buram Shetty. Mr. Sureshnath is asking, can we expect FY23 revenue growth of around 20% and also the profit?
Yes, I had indicated in the earlier comments, Suresh, the plans as it stands for FY23, we are very optimistic in terms of the outlook both for the GDS business as well as the CMS business. I think a lot depends on the external factors as well as, you know, internal constraints, etc. So at this point, as we don't give guidance, and I think just given the uncertainty that we have, I think I would say that the business looks optimistic. We do expect to have growth, but, you know, we would not really comment on the 20% question.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Sanmeet Majumdar. Mr. Sanmeet is asking whether there are any new product launches planned in FY23.
I think GDS.
Yeah, I think as Sucheta had earlier mentioned, I think we have certain products expanding different markets like, say, apixaban, certain customers in certain geographies in Europe, and also we also have paliperidone to schedule for launch in certain markets. So I think those are two products. I think even we have products like rivaroxaban in certain markets too. So these are two, three of the products which immediately come to mind in terms of launch and launch quantities happening in FY23.
So just to add to that, I think you know, it's not only new products, but we also have a couple of launches for older products but in new markets. And for us, these products are exciting because apixaban especially, it's based around litigation around specific patents. So there's a good opportunity there for early product launches without too much pressure on margins yet. Similarly, paliperidone, as probably some of you know, it's a specialty sterile API that we supply, and we don't have too much competition in this area for that specific API, and we have positioned ourselves well. I think solmitrol has been discussed multiple times on this call, and you know, a lot of our customers have gotten specific commercial approvals for solmitrol. So we're hoping that, you know, a lot of the effort that we made several years ago, and in some cases almost a decade ago, we start to see a good penetration in the market.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Keval Asher of DSP Investment Managers. Mr. Keval has two questions. First one is, there were some headwinds regarding to mirtazapine in Q3, and are the sales back to normal as of currently? That is number one. And number two is for the CMS segment, we have seen 6 APIs in commercial stage since the last many quarters. And now we have 2 more APIs in the commercial stage in this quarter. Please share the potential and opportunity size for these APIs.
So I think the answer to the first question is yes. I think as we had expected, bimetazepine has done well in Q4, which was kind of, you know, it had overcome some of the headwinds we had talked about in Q3, which is a positive indicator. Although for levetiracetam, we are still waiting for things to go back. I think with regards to the CMS segment, we have 2 more molecules getting into commercial stage. Each molecule has different potential and the opportunity size are very different. And again, it's very hard for us to quantify or talk about the range because all these molecules are fairly new drugs and they are getting into the market. And typically they take anywhere between 1 to 4 years for them to achieve their full commercial potential. For us, we think it's a little unfair to try to quantify it because if the drug does lower than expectations, then again, it is obviously disappointing for all of us. So I think as we have seen in the past, we've seen molecules which have commercialized 6-7 years ago for Newland only picking up in the last 1 or 2 years. And therefore, it's very hard for us to say how soon or how big these molecules can become. We would only just kind of comment on them as we start seeing growth happening. So if we see orders coming up from a new molecule in the upcoming quarters, we will be sure to indicate that this is coming out from a recently commercialized molecule. But we would not be able to articulate that before that growth happens.
Yes, thank you. Sarsh, my request would be, can we now open the participant lines for Q&A instead of going through the chat box?
Yes, if it's, is it working now?
Yes, I believe it is working now.
Just check. Sure.
Okay. So we will take participants by their hands, respective hands. The first question we will see is from Mr. Nitesh Avantar. Mr. Nitesh, I have unmuted you. You can please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. This is Nitesh here. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we are able to hear you, Nitesh. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. The first question is, I see that the cost of materials has reduced year on year. Assuming that, you know, the raw material prices have gone up, could you please explain why the cost of materials has increased year on year?
I think the main reason for that is because of the development revenues on the CMS side, Nitesh. We have seen a significant increase in the CMS development revenues, which have typically a very high contribution margin. And that has kind of offset the increase in raw material prices that we have seen in all the other businesses, including the CMS commercial.
Okay, thank you. I have follow-up questions, sorry.
Thank you. Okay. Next question is from Mr. Ankit Pandya from Incred PMS. Mr. Ankit, I have unmuted you. You can please go ahead. Ankit? I think we seem to have lost Ankit. Once again, I will now hand it over to the next participant, Mr. Pramesh Parikh. Mr. Pramesh Parikh.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, fine. So my question is with respect to Unit 3, is it operational? And at currently, what capacity it operates in terms of percentage? In the same follow-up on that, Unit 3, when do we see Unit 3's depreciation coming in the reduction form? There is one line item I mentioned, I see in your presentation where you said net debt has increased by 40%. It's gone from 140 something to 212. And uh, my, I think so. One question you already addressed with respect to your GDS clients you lost. So I would not repeat that. But can you give us some? I'm not saying a guidance, but what potential do you see of the 5 DMF filed in 2022 in terms of the next 3 to 4 years as an outlook?
So with respect to Unit 3, we commercialized last year, and as of now, it is operating at roughly around 40% operating efficiencies. And we have generated close to 80 crores plus of revenue from Unit 3 in FY21 overall. And what is the next question? Sorry.
So I think the other question which Pramesh asked was about the potential of the 5 DMFs which are there. So I think when it comes to the 5 DMFs, I think all of them are in the specialty segment, and at least 4 of them are where we expect more development revenues in the short term, and only in the long term, probably 5-6 years down the line, we'll have commercial revenues from them. Whereas when it comes to one of the molecules, which is linezolid, we expect revenues more in terms of, again, for the injectable portion of it, which is close to around a 15 to 20 million kind of API market, to have substantial revenues from the injectable market for linezolid. That will be more short term. Whereas the other 4 DMFs are more long term in terms of their nature.
There's one question which is left out is on the net debt.
So yes, the net debt has increased to 231 crores. So mainly it is partly we have taken the debt to fund our capex requirement for the current year. So we have invested around 95 crores overall in the capex. So part of which is funded through the debt which we have raised in foreign currency term loan. So that's the increase in working capital. So there is also increase in working capital mainly because of two reasons. For MSME vendors, we have made payments as of end of March as per the regulation. And also we have seen that there were a lot of customer orders in the month of March. So our receivable has gone up in the month of March. For the same realization will happen in the subsequent Q1 of FY23. So there's an increase in the working capital requirement to take care of the payables as well as the increase in the receivables at the end of the month.
Okay, thank you. Because I was going to ask you on receivables as the next follow-up on that. Okay, thank you. We addressed that. Thanks.
Thank you, Pramesh. The next question is from Mr. Keval Asher from DSP Investment Managers. Mr. Keval, I have unmuted you. You may please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, Keval, you are audible.
Yeah, so two questions. So first of all, we had some headwinds in mirtazapine in Q3. So is the sales back to normalcy from this?
Yes, Keval, we had answered that question already.
I missed that. And the second question is, what is the potential and opportunity size we have in the molecules which were commercialized in this quarter in CMS segment?
I'm sorry, I think you missed the answer to that as well, but we did answer saying that it's very difficult for us to quantify these molecules because the range is very big, and therefore we will have to wait for the business to come, and then we will be able to articulate how the drug has done. But at this point, we are not able to give any kind of indication, just given the width of the range.
Sure. Thanks a lot. I'll get back on the transcript, and all the best for the coming years.
Thank you. Yeah, the next question we have is from Mr. Again, a follow-on question from Mr. Nitesh. Mr. Nitesh, I have unmuted you. You can go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Just a broad question. Looking at the the current business environment, and also the new pipeline, whatever we have, which is yet to be launched. Are you confident? Because every time we do ask the same question, what is the outlook for next 5 years? And every time we say that, it looks very promising. But where do you see yourself in next, say, 5 to 10 years? Do we see as one of the largest API players from India?
Sir, your line is muted.
Yeah, sorry about that. I think given the fact that it's a qualitative question, I'll give my perspective and then I'll request Suchet to share his perspective as well. I think from a 5 to 10 year perspective, our strategy would be to continue building very strong relationships with innovator companies for the CMS business, wherein we are able to bring in a very diverse as well as a high quality portfolio of molecules. We want to be in a situation where we are making some of the upcoming blockbusters, which are typically the small molecules. And on the GDS side, we would want to be able to keep adding complex generic APIs, especially molecules where we are able to differentiate ourselves based on our quality, our GMP track record, and our technical capabilities. And our focus would be to enter into molecules where there is a very strong synergy in terms of our infrastructure, in terms of our R&D capabilities, which means that we want to have molecules both on CMS and GDS, where our capacities are very fungible in a way, so we can switch between a GDS molecule as well as a CMS molecule, where our R&D specialists are able to cross-contribute between CMS to GDS and vice versa, and also where we are able to add a lot of value. So we would not want to be in typically me-too kind of products. And so that's the journey we want to go. And we do believe that it's a very large market. You know, there are reports that say it's close to $100 billion market. And, you know, we are barely scratching the surface at $150 million or so. So we do think that there is a very huge opportunity. And I think in terms of the near term, we will continue to see more molecules get commercialized, both in the CMS space as well as in the GDS space. I think Suchet and Sajeev had talked about the kind of products that are getting off patent on the GDS side. And I think the commercialization of those molecules will give very healthy growth in the next 2 to 3 years. On the CMS side, commercialization of these development molecules and they translating into commercial revenues will definitely be very important. We are also investing a lot in terms of getting more new projects into the system. So while we do talk about these 6 molecules getting commercialized, we are also constantly adding more molecules into our development pipelines as well. And I think with the pandemic ending, we are also able to build traction with newer customers. We are able to build new relationships, and we expect that that should contribute to new business as well. But I think just given the lumpy nature of our business and the kind of challenges we face both internally and externally, we still remain very cautious in terms of giving guidance for, you know, annual growth or profitability, because there are many factors that could impact our growth and profitability, and that's why we refrain from giving guidance. So that's kind of my take on it. Suchet, you want to share your perspective?
I think Harsh has covered most of it, so I won't repeat any of it. I think just to summarize in a nutshell, one, I think it's a good question, how do we see ourselves 5 years down the line? I think what's important to us that in the next few years, we build a very high-quality business. Now, when I say quality, I don't mean GMP or quality products. That's a given in our industry anyway. Without that, we don't even have an existence. But when I say quality, it means the overall quality of business, which is to file DMFs, which are specialty DMFs on the API side, so that we are able to protect our margins. We don't lose products or lose market share because of too much competition and customers who are not willing to stick to a high-quality business. On the CMS side, as Harsh said, we found our space. We found our competitive edge in helping our customers take molecules from early stage clinical development all the way to late stage clinical development and commercial launch, and to be a partner of choice for our customers through the commercialization and beyond through the life cycle of the product as well. So that's where we are focused. That's where we built our capabilities. That's where our infrastructure, our technical capabilities, our scientific capabilities, addition of those are focused on. So I think our goal is to build a very high quality API manufacturer supplying these APIs both on the generic and the contract manufacturing side to customers that value this quality of business. I think that's how we see our business going forward.
Thank you.
Thank you. I just have one follow-up question. Sorry.
Ms. Natasha, I would request you to get back in the queue, please.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. We will now take some of the questions from the chat box. Mr. Naitik Mohata is asking as to what are the utilization levels of each of the three units respectively?
I think about unit one and unit two are close to about 70 to 80%. It is also, it's not such a straightforward answer because our capacity also keeps evolving based on our debottlenecking and product mix that happens. As Deepak answered earlier, unit 3 is about 40%, but unit 3 is also where a lot of the capex is going and the new products and projects are going as well. So the capacity in unit 3 will also continue to increase given that, you know, it is a fairly large size unit. But that's kind of the indicator view of the three units.
Sure. Thank you. We have the next question from Mr. Amay Chalke of Haitong Securities in the chat box. Mr. Amay is asking whether we have any comments on building robustness in the business where we can build scale or moat in some of the molecules which can potentially remove the volatility from the business. Currently, we are present in a lot of molecules, but we do not have any scale or moat in any of the molecules.
Well, it's not entirely true. I think it's a good question, though. For a lot of the molecules that we do, such as levetiracetam, even mirtazapine, ciprofloxacin, labetalol, all of these molecules are molecules where we actually have scale. In fact, we are either the market leader in these APIs, mirtazapine, sotalol, labetalol, ciprofloxacin for sure. But even products such as levetiracetam, mirtazapine, donepezil, we're actually on our way there. So one, we're definitely building scale for all of these APIs. That's very hardcore to our strategy, is to continue adding capacity, reducing cost, adding customers, so that we end up in a leadership position. As far as the moat is concerned, I think it depends on the specific molecules. The products such as solmitrol, entacapone, paliperidone, palmitate, where we have a significant differentiation where, you know, the competition is not able to take away any market share for us. I think apart from that, once we actually have a leadership position, unless we actually screw things up or something happens because of macroeconomic factors which are beyond our control, we've seen that we're able to continue maintaining that market share. So I think sometimes the moat is because of scale and continuity of supply and our cost position. Sometimes it's because of a patent that we have, or sometimes it's just purely because of the technology in that specific API.
And also, maybe just to add to Suchet's comment, Amay, we also, especially in the last 3 to 4 years, we've also started rationalizing our portfolio. We have taken some tough decisions. We have, determined certain products where we are not able to build that kind of a leadership position, and we have given due notification to our customers, and we have exited those products as well. So therefore, we are in that process of rationalization, I think, but also given the kind of deep relationships we have with companies, we may not be able to do that immediately. So whether it is to build the market leadership that Suchet described, or to make a tough decision and exit a product, I think that's something that Newland will take some runway.
Thank you. We have the next question in the chat box from Mohit Saraf. How much of our CMS revenues in FY22 were recurring in nature?
Sajeev, you want to answer that? I think that's a number that we have disclosed.
Yeah.
I think about 34 crores is what we have disclosed as commercial revenue. And that is revenue that we expect to be recurring. And 38 crores is developmental revenues, which is project-based.
And for the full year, if you look at it, I think we have close to 114 crores of commercial revenue and 168 crores of development revenue. So we'd expect that the commercial revenue would be recurring revenue.
Thank you. We have the next question from Ankush Mahajan from Axis Securities. Mr. Ankush is asking, please elaborate on the capex for the CMS business for FY23 and FY24.
You want to answer that, Deepak?
Sure.
Yeah, you can maybe just talk about the capex program.
Yeah. Well, I think if out of the total capex of 100 crores that we've earmarked for FY23, I think the rough indicative number is about 54, 55 crores of that is for the CMS business. But as Harsh was saying earlier, our overall manufacturing strategy is to have capacity which is fungible among specific APIs as well. Our intent is to maintain enough buffer capacity so that any peak in demand or any volatility in demand is taken care of by the organization. So we will not have any capex which is targeted only for CMS business over the long run. Our strategy is to have capacity which is fungible among all our APIs.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Kailash M. in the chat box. Mr. Kailash is asking, is there an operating leverage at play? And we would appreciate a color on the working capital cycle as we see that the year-on-year short-term borrowings have increased by 54% and long-term borrowings have increased by 18%. So the apparently it seems that the CFO to EBITDA ratio is getting affected.
Deepak, you want to answer that? I think in terms of operating leverage, definitely we are not still seeing that at play. I think just the fact that the revenues have not really grown and we've had, you know, products like Levetiracetam for which we have a lot of capacity, but we've not really scaled to the kind of capacities we have. I think we're still far from saying that operating leverage is there, but I'll let Deepak comment on it and the other question as well.
So in terms of working capital, so as we discussed earlier, like we are seeing like working capital requirement is increasing mainly because of receivables and payables that we discussed. However, the long-term debt, what we are seeing here now is mainly to fund the future cash, future capex requirements, as I said. So we are trying to fund through internal accruals part of the capex requirement, but when the business is there for long term, then we are also considering to fund it partly through the debt. So that's where we are looking at in terms of managing the debt. However, we see that the working capital requirements will be kind of, we can see some dip happening in the subsequent quarters when we can rationalize the inventory which we have built for contingency purpose for the future. So we can see dip coming in the on the working capital front going forward.
Thank you. We now take the last question from Ms. Harini Dedia, who is the research head of Tamohara Investment Managers. Ms. Harini Dedia is asking stating that developed markets are degrowing and venture capital money is more difficult to come by in the developed markets, and there are also inflationary pressures. How has this affected the R&D budgets of Newland's customers, and are Newland noticing a difference in the new conversations that we are pursuing for our CMS business?
I think the sense we are getting from our customers is that venture funding for their projects or their businesses continues to remain healthy. In fact, a lot of companies have been able to successfully raise money. That's also maybe because we deal with slightly later stage biotech companies who are already having drugs in phase two or beyond. So we have not actually seen too many indications that there is, you know, challenges in terms of funding. And I'm not sure what the other question was.
No, and are we seeing that from our customers and the way the business is coming in? I don't think
not so. Really, because I think as I had also mentioned previously, I think now with the pandemic subsiding, we are actually seeing interest from newer companies as well who had not engaged with Newland because of the pandemic, because they could not visit our facilities, etc. Now we are seeing some new names reach out to us by themselves.
Thank you. That was the last question, and I now hand it over back to the management, to Mr. Sajeev Emmanuel Mediconda, who is the head of strategy and product, for his closing comments. Over to you, Sajeev.
Yeah. Once again, thank you everyone for joining the call and for your questions, especially about the future and the potential. We thank you for your interest in the company and joining us on today's call. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to the Newland management and to the participants for participating in this call. With that, this call ends. Thank you. Bye. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks, everyone.